chapter together, Numbers chapter 20, and beginning in we're just going to read the first 13 verses. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, to the desert of Zin in the first month. The people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. So, speak unto the rock is our title. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us Holy Spirit power. As we open your word together, we pray you'd guide us in your truth. Speak to each of our hearts. Work miracles. And Lord, that you would be glorified. May we learn tonight and go forward with what we have learned and apply it to our own lives. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So remember, we were at Numbers 17. We just jumped 40 years, just like that, between 17 and 20. So, no record of what happened during the 40 years of wandering. It's just done. They're about to go into the Promised Land, but before they go into the Promised Land, God decides to test this new generation. He certainly tested the old one, and they failed and failed and failed, didn't they? But now it's a new generation. As they mentioned, all the people over 20 have died in the desert except Joshua and Caleb. And Miriam dies. She would have been about 130. Because remember, she was a young lady when Moses was rescued from the bulrushes in the little ark. So they definitely learned from their parents, didn't they? Because what do? The first sight of problems, remember, for 40 years, they have been eating manna from heaven. For 40 years, their shoes haven't worn out. For 40 years, they've seen God lead them with a pillar of cloud in the day, pillar of fire by night. 40 years, they've observed all these miracles. And this first test, there's nothing to drink. Isn't their response amazing? Rather than God will take care of it, they gathered themselves together. So more rebellion, which remember, God called them the previous generation rebels in chapter 17. God had already tested the previous generation with a lack of water two times. Look at Exodus 15, verse 23. Let's review those. Exodus 15, verse 23. It says, And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And if you remember, God healed the waters, and they were able to drink of them. And then in Exodus 17, verse 1, God did it again. All the congregation of children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. They failed both of those tests. Here we have a new generation. God brings them to a place where there's nothing to drink. We don't know how many people there are now. Everybody under 20 is alive. Everybody over 20 has died. It could be the same 3 million. We don't know. But it's a lot of people. And again, they're blaming the leadership. I mean, think about what they're doing. They're gathering themselves against Moses and against Aaron as if Moses and Aaron have the power to give them water, as if Moses and Aaron are at fault for where they find themselves. Remember, they've been led by the cloud and by the fire. God has told them exactly where to go, where to camp, how long to camp there. He tells them to camp here, no water. It's Moses and Aaron's fault. How ridiculous. God was in control of this. God designed this to test them, and they failed. Verse 3, they chided. That's rebellion. They chided, not with God, but with Moses. And in their chiding, look what they said. Would God that we had died. Now, could you get an any more foolish statement than that? God has just miraculously fed them for 40 years with manna, taken care of them, led them every step of the way. No water to drink. We would have been better off if we had just died. You know, when people's hearts aren't right with God, they say stupid things, foolish things. So but what do they do? Verse 4, why have ye, Moses, not God, why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? This, by the way, is the ninth time that Israel as a nation murmured against God. It's the first time for this generation. Wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of cedar, of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. In other words, we were better off in Egypt. We've heard that, this one before, haven't we? So two foolish statements. We would have been better off dying, and Egypt was better, which is why we asked you to rescue us from their God. So Moses and Aaron, they haven't changed. Verse 6, they fell on their faces. Amen. I've lost count of how many times they've had to fall on their faces on behalf of Israel. And so the Lord spake to Moses, because this is the first time that they're being tested, God did not punish Israel. Keep that in mind, because the last five or six times that they've tested God, they've been punished, haven't they? I mean, even in that chapter 16, they were punished three different ways. The earth opening up, the fire from the Lord, and then the plague. But in this particular instance, new generation, first test, they failed the test, but God doesn't punish them. He just says, I'll give them water. They're complaining, they're moaning, they're murmuring. I'll just give them water. And this is very important, verse 8. He says to Moses, speak unto the rock. Speak unto the rock. This is significant on many levels. But we need to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to understand why this was important to our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 4. It says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Notice the phrase spiritual rock. So Jesus Christ was the spiritual rock that followed them and took care of them, because Jesus is God. Now back in Exodus 17, if you want to turn back there again, we looked at verse 1, but I want us to look at verse 6. Because I want us to see, when the water came out, what happened? Exodus 17. It says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. So in Exodus 17, the first time was bitter water, but here they had no water. God said to Moses, take your rod, smite the rock, water will come out. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus, we're told in the New Testament, was the spiritual rock that followed them. And when Moses smote the rock, they received water to drink. So you could all see the type. Amen? Jesus was smitten. And what does he give us but living waters? Amen? This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. John chapter 7 and many other places, talking about living waters, how he gives us the water of life and so forth. So Moses, the second time, was told to only speak to the rock. God here, now Israel doesn't have a clue, but God always does everything and has a purpose behind it. Amen? And God here has a picture for us, not for them, because they aren't going to get it, but for us, that the rock that gives out living water only has to be smitten one time. Amen? And then you never smite it again. We have Christians out there who essentially crucify Christ every Sunday, don't they? By believing that a wafer becomes his flesh and that wine becomes his blood. But no, he was crucified and smitten once. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 5. Now Moses didn't understand. Israel didn't understand. We understand, because we're on the other side of Calvary, that the rock only had to be smitten once. After that, he only had to speak to it. Amen? Isaiah 53, verse 5, most of us know this. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Many times we read in the New Testament how Jesus was smitten. Look at John chapter 7, verse 38. Now, was the power to bring water out of the rock in the rod or in God? Silly question, right? The rod's just a rod. And when Moses smote the rock the first time, it wasn't the rod that brought the water out of the rock, was it? It was God that brought the water out of the rock. The rod was just a symbol of the authority that God had given to Moses. But it was God that worked the miracle and brought the water. God also simultaneously was teaching a lesson that the rock that brings living water only needs to be smitten once. John 7, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus promised living water. Amen? That's salvation. And it's the Holy Spirit that moves in at salvation. That's living water. And now it only has to be spoken to the rock. Jesus doesn't have to be crucified ever again. Amen? Look at Hebrews 10 and we'll see this. He is not on the cross anymore. Praise God. He's not in the tomb anymore. Praise God. He has died and he has risen again from the dead. He's ascended to heaven. He intercedes for us. He's going to prepare a place for us. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Look at those last three words. Once for all. Amen. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The rock only needs to be smitten once. Isn't it beautiful that God would actually provide water for a bunch of rebels who are arguing with God's leader, complaining? But isn't it amazing that God blesses us even though we disobey him every day? It's true, isn't it? And that's a picture of a backslidden Christian, isn't it? Does God ever bless you? Do you ever sin? Or do you live a perfect life? That's the merciful God we serve. So we could stop there. The picture's been broken. The picture was clear. Just speak to the rock. But we've got another lesson embedded here, and that's this. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. I'm sure nobody in this room has ever sinned because of anger, but if you ever have, learn from Moses. Amen? Don't let your anger get the best of you to the point that you lash out in anger and you sin. You can't help getting angry. It's going to happen. But you can help your response to the anger, what you do with it. Moses got angry. I would say every one of us would agree that he deserved to be angry. He's been leading these people for 40 years. Can you imagine? This batch of rebels. And he's watched God take care of them for 40 years. And yet, the first little thing, first little trial that comes along, what do they do? Moses, how dare you bring us out here? We should have died. We should have stayed in Egypt. And so Moses, verse 10, gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Oops. Yeah, they were rebels. That one's okay. But who fetched water out of the rock? Was it Moses and Aaron, or was it God? So there's mistake number one. Is he allowed his anger to provoke him to say something that absolutely was not true? Let's look at Psalm 106, verse 32. God describes what Moses did for us here. Psalm 106 and verse 32. It says, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. Look at this next verse. Because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Anybody ever been provoked? We all have, haven't we? And when we get provoked, then it's up to us what we do with it, isn't it? We can sin or not sin. Moses sadly lost the plot there for just a short time. And said, must we fetch water? So that was definitely unadvised, wouldn't you say? But it didn't stop there. Verse 11, he lifted up his hand with his rod, and he smote the rock twice. Uh-oh. God said, speak to it, Moses. Don't use the rod this time. Just speak. But instead, he smote the rock twice. There went the picture that God was putting together for the world, that the rock, the spiritual rock that followed them was Christ, and only had to be smitten once. So not only did he speak unadvisedly with his lips, but then he smote the rock twice when he was told to speak to it. And how sad that he's got this batch of rebels that provoke him to anger, and he's the one now that's going to get punished, not them. How sad. He's the one that doesn't get to go into the promised land. And they do. And they're the ones that were rebels. So there's some lessons there, aren't there? But look at Hebrews 9 quickly, verse 25. Moses here destroyed the picture that the rock only has to be smitten once. And in his anger, he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. And said, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Hebrews 9:25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus does not have to be often offered, amen, or often suffer once. He only had to go through Calvary once. The Bible says he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. So verse 12, God, Numbers 20:12. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. He disobeyed. He didn't give God the glory. He smote the rock twice instead of speaking to it. Moses was God's favorite up to this point, wouldn't you all say? And yet he failed and has to be punished. So Deuteronomy 32:51. Deuteronomy means second law. It's the book that recounts what's been happening in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Here in Deuteronomy 32, they're recounting what's happened. Verse 51. And God is speaking. He takes Moses up onto the mountain, lets Moses see the promised land from the mountaintop, Mount Nebo. He can see it. He's allowed to look at it across the Jordan River. And then God says, verse 51, because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, so we know exactly it's this event, in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. I'll let you see it, Moses, but you don't get to go. Pretty sad, isn't it? So if you could get a memory verse tonight, Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Back to our passage, verse 13. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove, look at this next phrase, with the Lord. Wait a minute, they were striving with Moses. When they were striving with Moses as leader, they were striving with the Lord. We've seen this over and over again, haven't we? Where they murmured against Moses, and God said, they aren't murmuring against you, they're murmuring against me. So God was sanctified in them because someone had to be punished, and it was Moses. He had to take on the punishment on their behalf. And yes, he sinned in his anger. So one man gets punished on behalf of everybody else. Sound familiar? Sound like another picture embedded there? Speak unto the rock. That's what he clearly said. Moses, speak unto the rock. Must we fetch water for you rebels? And he smote it two times. Be ye angry and sin not. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. All the lessons you've put in here for us, Lord. You said that things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Lord, may we be careful when we're provoked to anger to not lose it. Lord, but to keep our temper, to keep ourselves in check so that we don't sin. And it hurts our hearts to see Moses not allowed to go in, but it also teaches us a very important lesson that when you set up a picture, you don't want it broken. Thank you that Jesus only had to die once for our sins. And thank you, Lord, that you're so patient with us. And that just like with Israel, you meet our needs, you take care of us, you lead us, even though we fail you constantly. Thank you for being so merciful.